Hallelujah. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord?
Yes.
Hallelujah. What'd you come for? Did you come to get anything?
Yes.
Have you already got something? Yes. You should have already got something in praise and worship.
Yes.
Hallelujah. As we enter into God's presence, if we truly enter in with a hungry heart, we will never leave away unsatisfied.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory be to God. I want you to hold your Bible up if you got one. Say,
this is
the Word of God.
I am
everything
that
this Word says I am.
I am
more than a conqueror.
I am a world overcomer.
I am a child of God. The righteousness of God. In Christ Jesus. And I believe it.
And I live like it.
In Jesus' name.
Glory,
hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. I enjoyed that praise and worship. I always enjoy praise and worship anyway because I choose to get into the presence of the Lord. It's a choice you make. Hallelujah. So let's just close our eyes. I want to pray. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name, Lord. We thank you for your blessings this day. We thank you for the privilege and the honor that you have given us to come back to your house, Lord, to worship you in spirit and truth. Because you seek such to worship you. And Father, we thank you for that. Now, Holy Spirit of God, you are here. And we know you're here. We recognize your presence. And we anticipate it on a greater scale than ever before. I ask you to rise up big on the inside of this place and on the inside of each and every one of us. And give us the words the Father's wanting to say to us this day. I thank you for that. I receive it in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.
Amen.
Is this my water up here?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Praise God. I want you to open your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 3. Now, the last message that I ministered here was the favor of God. And I didn't finish it up. So I believe that's what we're going to be doing today, unless the Lord does something different. And he's free to do that. Glory, hallelujah. Proverbs chapter 3. Are you there? Well, I'm not. Hold on just a minute. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, thank you, Jesus. Listen to what it says here in Proverbs chapter 3. My son, I mean, he's a son or daughter of God or a child of God. Raise your hand. Well, he's talking to you. He's talking to you. Hallelujah. My son, forget not my law. Forget not what? My law or the word of God. Let thine heart keep my commandments. Do you hear what he said? Let your heart keep my commandments. Why? It's the abundance, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. So keep my commandments. Listen to what he's going to tell you, the benefits of it here. For length of days, how many of you like to live a long life? We want to live a long, prosperous life.
Yeah.
We're promised that in the Word of God, aren't we?
Yeah.
When we keep the commandments and the laws of God, or we line our lives up with the Word of God.
Amen.
That's what I like to say. Line my life up with the Word.
Glory,
hallelujah. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add unto thee. How many of you need peace? Well, then you need to spend time with the only one that can give you the peace. He is peace. Isaiah, he says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. You got to keep your mind on peace in order to have peace. You got to have your thoughts and your mind and your heart focused on the Lord if you want that peace to rule in your life. Glory, hallelujah. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add unto thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. What does Psalms 23 said? Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Now, he's going to follow you all the days of your life as long as you line in your life up with the Word. Now, if you get off track out in left field, guess what? Mercy and peace is you left them behind. I didn't say they left you. I said you left them. Glory, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck, or write them upon the tables of thine heart. Bind them about thy neck, or write them upon the tables of the heart. You know what he said? Bind them about thy neck. What's the closest thing to your neck? Is your mouth. So what you speak is what you're going to get. That's how I believe we bind around our neck the Word of God by speaking it out of our mouth. And it gets into our heart. Glory, hallelujah. So shalt thou. Oh, let me back up. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the tables of thine heart. So shall they find favor and good understanding. So shall you find favor and good understanding. How many of you know that understanding, the right thing, is good understanding? You can understand some things not so good. You need to understand the good things. Proverbs also says in there that wisdom is the principal thing. Get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. How many of you know if you got a lot of wisdom and no sense of how to use it and when to use it, it's not going to profit you much, is it? Huh? Good understanding is knowing when to apply the wisdom you have. Hallelujah. How many of you know that? God don't want you to miss it. He's already given you everything that you will ever need that pertains to life and godliness. He's already given us the Word. Now we need to become and make the Word a living part of us. Because His Word is alive. It's alive. It's quick. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. Cutting even to dividing asunder the soul and spirit and the joints and the marrow. The Word of God is powerful. But it's got to be spoken with someone that has faith in their heart about it. Glory, hallelujah. That's good, isn't it?
Amen.
Speak the Word. You are the Word. We are the Word walking. Jesus was the Word walking. He was the Word. You can't separate Him from the Word. You still can't separate Him from the Word. He is the Word. John says, and He became flesh, the Son of God became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld His glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of mercy and truth. Glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Look at verse 4. So shall, now you got to do this stuff. I mean, look at someone say, you got to be a doer of the Word. If you're going to reap the benefits of the Word. You got to be a doer of the Word. You don't just say what the Word says and then not turn and go the other way. We're going to look at some things in the Word of God today where people did that. And they expect the blessings of God on their life. If you get sidetracked out of this Word, I'm going to tell you something. Your blessings are left behind. Glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So shalt they find favor. How many of you want favor? And you obey the Word. How many of you want favor? Favor is what we're going to be looking at again today. The favor of God, part two. The favor of God, part two. Man, if I got God's favor, I don't need nothing else. I'm telling you. If I've got His favor, and I'm lining my life up with the Word, then I can't do nothing but win. Glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God. Is that what that says? Look at that again. So shall I find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. See, God wants you to people to see you and see how prosperous you are. He wants people to see you and see how dedicated you are to the Word of God. He wants to see you, people looking at you to find out how they can be blessed like you are. How'd you get blessed in the Word? By learning the Word and giving your life to the Word. And when I say giving your life to the Word, I'm talking about giving your life to Jesus. But there's more to it than getting born again. If you want to live a prosperous life. Getting born again, well, what it will do, the greatest miracle ever happened, it will get you into heaven. But without the wisdom of the Word of God, you don't know how to live victoriously in this earth. Hallelujah. And God created you to be above and not beneath. Amen. Above and not beneath. Above, up there with Him, sitting on the right hand of the Father. In heavenly places with Him. Glory, hallelujah. He created you to be the above and not beneath. The head. Look at someone who says, I'm the head. I'm not the tail. I'm blessed going out. And I'm blessed coming in. I'm more than a conqueror. I'm a world overcomer. Nothing's too hard for me. In Jesus' name. Glory, hallelujah. Now, I want to go on down to verse 5. I just looked down and seen that word right there, and you've got to have that. Say this with me. Trust in the Lord. With all thine heart. And lean not unto your own understanding. Say it. Because your understanding is not what it needs to be. That's why the Bible tells us to renew our mind to the Word of God. So we can renew. When you're renewing your mind, you're renewing your understanding. And so when we're renewing our mind, we're getting inside of us. It's got to first get in your mind before it can get in your heart. Do you know that? So we get that inside of us, and out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Even when we don't think we can live a victorious life, we can. Because we're not motivated by what this thinking is. In other words, what I'm trying to say is you can have... it just left me, but it's coming back. Doubt in my heart, in my head, will not overrun the faith that's in my heart. Amen. Hallelujah. Because the heart is what God looks at. The heart. Glory, hallelujah. Now, glory, hallelujah. Now, we're going to go there, and I'm just going to recap just a few scriptures where I went last time so I can get up to where we're at today, okay? Favor is someone's desire to solve a problem for you. How many of you know you were lost and dead in your trespasses and sins? Only one place you were headed for is hell, wide open. But then the favor of God sent Jesus Christ to that cross and paid the penalty for your sins. The favor of God caused that to happen. He had favor on us when we didn't deserve favor. Glory be to God. Favor is someone's desire to solve a problem for you. God sighed and solved that sin problem for me. Because I know the Word says that I have favor with God and He gives me favor with men. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? Psalms 41:11 says, by this I know that thou favorest me, because mine enemy does not triumph over me. King David was going through a hard time. The man had a rough life. But the Bible says, God says, David is a man after my own heart. Now, When you look at David's life and all the things that happened in David's life, there's hope for us, aren't there? Huh? That's a merciful, loving, favorable God. There's a reason we have. But David was in countabound to all of his enemies, his house turned against him, his sons trying to kill him, all kinds of things. And he said, because, or by this, I know you favor me because my enemies do not triumph over me. Hallelujah. Now, how many of you know there's a devil out there seeking to destroy you? Seeking whom he may devour. The favor of God is the only thing that keeps from devil from consuming us. Because he's given us his word. Because you favor me, God. Hallelujah. My enemy, Satan, cannot destroy me. Jesus said, I give you power. Say, I have power.
I have power.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus.
I give you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. You didn't deserve it. I didn't deserve it. It's the favor of God on us that gave it to us. Favor is a gift from God. Did you know that? Hallelujah. He does not owe it to you. God don't owe you nothing. You cannot purchase favor. I don't care how much money you got. You can never buy God's favor. Others are not obligated to you. Nobody's obligated to you. You know that? People are favored, may favor you because God has placed that favor in their heart. They don't owe you nothing. God don't owe us nothing. We'll never pay him back for what we owe him, though. So all we can do is live a life that lines up with his word, that brings pleasure to him. Psalms 5 and 12 says, for thou, Lord, well, bless the righteous. Say, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus.
I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus.
With favor, and will compass him as with a shield. Lord, God Almighty, you got a favor, a shield of favor over you.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Say, I have a shield of favor over me.
I have a shield of favor.
And it comes from God himself.
It comes from God himself.
Because of the atonement of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Favor is necessary for the success God has for you. How many of you know we can't never be what God wants us to be without the favor of God over our lives? Active favor. I like to say the active favor. Hallelujah. Job 10 and 12 says, thou hast granted me life and favor, and thy visitation has preserved my spirit. Glory, hallelujah. That's enough to shout on right there, isn't it? Thou hast granted me life and favor, and thy visitation has preserved my spirit. Man, we can each one go to our prayer closet and come out shouting because that is what takes place in that prayer closet. Hallelujah, the favor of God. Favor begins when you solve a problem for someone. Glory, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. When Joseph interpreted the dream of Pharaoh, his gift made room for him. And he was promoted to the second place of power, to the prime minister of Egypt. Now, we looked at that last time I ministered on. How many of you remember that? When we ministered, it ain't been that long ago, people. But because Joseph interpreted Pharaoh's dream, him in prison, all hell has broke loose in his life. The devil was trying to stop him from doing what God had called him to do. Even his own family turned against him, dug holes, threw him in, and they sold him as a slave. And he ended up in prison because of some more junk that those people did, and And the guy where he is staying, all kind of stupid stuff. But he was an innocent man. And he trusted God through it all. Then one day, Pharaoh had a dream and he couldn't figure out what was going on. The magicians couldn't tell what all was going on. How many of you know you don't need no daggone musicians? You don't need no soothsayers. You don't need no psychics. You got the great I am. I am everything you will ever need. You don't have to turn to that junk. Hallelujah. I am the great I am. That's what he said. So you got the great I am. So they couldn't tell him what was going on. And there's a guy that had done slap forgot about Joseph when he was in prison too. And Joseph interpreted the dream for him. So he told him, he said, man, there's a man I was in prison with. And he can interpret your dream. It was a gift that God had given Joseph. You can't just interpret dreams because you think you can or you want to. Some people can't. God has given that gift to interpret dreams. His gift made room for him after all those years in prison. Pharaoh called him out and he interpreted Pharaoh's dream and it come out just like he interpreted. Well, I'm going to tell you what favor will do. And we looked at that too. Pharaoh took him. Glory, hallelujah. Put a ring. Let's go over there. I don't know where it's at. You? Hallelujah. Genesis 41 and 41, chapter 41 and verse 41 through 44. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. Over all the land of Egypt. Now I'm gonna look, I want you to look at favor here. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it on Joseph's hand and arrayed him a vesture and fine linen and put a gold chain about his neck. How many of you like gold chains? Have you ever seen an emperor or a king or someone wearing one? It ain't one of them little bitty things we wear. Hallelujah. And the robe that the king wears is not one of them little bitty robes, neither. It's a robe with a train behind it. Amen. As he walks down through there. Amen. Just like our King of Kings in Isaiah said, I saw the Lord, he was high and he was lifted up. Yeah. And his train filled the temple. And God showed me that one day as I was meditating on the word, that he was sitting high up on the throne. He had to look up at him just like he is now in heaven. And his train field just circled that temple and all the way, completely covered the walls, the floor and everything as he sat upon that throne. Hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. Our God is a mighty God. And he's able to save and he's able to meet every need that you'll ever have. And he will. He desires to. Glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I have to have a break right here. Excuse me. My cup runs over every once in a while. Glory, hallelujah. If the anointing and the presence of God don't overrun your cup, your cup's got a hole in it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And his train filled the temple. Look what he says here in verse 42. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and he put it on Joseph's hand and arrayed him in vesture of fine linen and put a gold chain about his neck. And he made him to ride in the second chariot which he had. And they cried before him, bow the knee. And he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. This is what favor will do for you. Over all the land of Egypt. And the Bible says that Pharaoh told Joseph, he said, you're over your head over everything in this kingdom. You're second place to me. That's the only thing that's greater than you, Joseph. You're second place to me. And he said, no one will lift a foot to go out or to come in unless you say so, Joseph. Glory, hallelujah. Just because he solved a problem for Pharaoh. The same thing can happen to you and I when we solve problems for people that don't know God and we turn them toward God. Hallelujah. That's all Joseph did. He used the gift that God had given him. Each one of us have gifts and talents that God has given us, and if we don't use them, they're going to lay dormant in our lives. But you can have favor flowing in your life if you choose to use the talents and the gifts God has given you. Glory, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And it says, favor is a seed favor is a seed you can sow into others' lives. Everyone has the ability to sow favor. When you help someone achieve their goals, you are sowing favor in your life. Glory, hallelujah. That's what I'm saying. When you use the gifts and talents God has given you to minister to other people, you're sowing favor in your own life. Glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Ephesians 6 and 8 says, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether it be bond or free, or whether he be bond or free. Favor begins as a seed and ends as a harvest. Glory, hallelujah. When you sow favor today, what you sow today will re-enter your life in the future. How many of you know that? I'm not drunk and going to fall. Hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. That's just leaning with the word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Favor is a seed. When you sow, what you sow today will re-enter your life in your future. How many of you believe that? What a man soweth, that shall he reap. What a man soweth, that's what he's going to reap. If you sow in favor and good understanding and helping meet the needs of other people, that's what you're going to receive in your life. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Now we're going to go on here, get in here. Hallelujah. Galatians 6 and 7 says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he reap. I want to tell you something in sowing and reaping. A lot of people don't understand this. But when you sow, you're not only going to reap what you sowed, you're going to sow, as much as you sowed, you're going to reap more than what you sowed for a longer period of time than what you sowed. How long does it take to take a kernel of corn, go out to the garden, dig a hole, stick it in there and cover it up? You plant in one seed. But when that stalk of corn comes up, that corn could have three stalks or more on it. Three stalks. Count the kernels that's on each cob, them three ears of corn. You reap more than what you sowed, and you reap longer than what you sowed. Because if I take out one ear and eat it, bless God, I only planted one kernel. But then I go back and I got another ear and pull it off. I'm reaping longer than it took me to sow. And I need more, I go back and get some more. So it pays to sow, what I believe. Sow, and you don't have to only just sow money. Or give you money. You don't sow your money. Money's not a seed. You know that. We use the terminology, but money is not a seed. Because it don't reproduce itself. It don't come up and grow, right? What is our seed is the words we speak over our tithes and our offerings. That's the seed, because the Bible shows us that the word is seed. And there's nothing wrong with saying sowing your seed. God knows what we and what our heart is. He knows what's going on. Hallelujah. Favor can stop when you deliberately ignore an instruction from God. Did y'all hear that? You don't even know when I'm going to say that. Y'all smart. Hallelujah. Favor can stop when you deliberately ignore a instruction from God. Now I want you to go, let's go. Saul ignored the instructions of Samuel to kill King Agag and all the Amalekites. 1 Samuel chapter 15, I'm not going over there, we're just going to run through there right quick. Okay? How many of you know that Israel wanted a king? God did not want them to have a king because God wanted to be their king. He didn't want nobody to take his place. But they kept on with Samuel, a man of God. He kept on running their mouth and fussing. How many of you know if you keep on bugging God about something, he'll let you have it? I mean, if it's not what you need. That's what he did. He told Samuel, and Samuel went to God and was talking to God. And he said, man, I don't want to give him no king. God said, no, I want him to be their king. I'm paraphrasing. He said, but Samuel, go ahead and give them a king. Don't worry about them. They haven't rejected you, Samuel. They have rejected me from being their king. He said, so go ahead and give them a king if they want one. Now, isn't this funny? I thought about this often. God said, I don't want them to have a king. But anyway, God chose them a king. I mean, you know, whether you believe it or not, God chose Saul to be king of Egypt. He chose him. But Saul got the big head. Have we ever done that? I have. I can talk about myself, okay? I can talk about myself. Think we know it all, think we can do it all, think we know more than God. Glory, hallelujah. So everything went fine for a while. Then they were going to go into battle. And if you know anything about the Old Testament, the priest, the prophet, the man of God was the one supposed to give a sacrifice. So Samuel was late for coming for a meeting that they were fixing to go into war. And Saul took it upon himself to burn sacrifices. And Samuel came in and said, Saul, what have you done? He said, well, I seen you wasn't coming. People were getting jittery and the soldiers coming, all this stuff and all, you know. So I thought I'd go ahead and make the sacrifice. Today, because of that decision, big boy, the kingdom has been took away from you. Because of your disobeying God. How many of you know that sometimes it's the little things? The Bible says it's the little foxes that spoils the grapes. The little bitty things that we think ain't no problem, that God don't mind, God don't like. Glory, hallelujah. Getting quiet in this Holy Ghost filled church. I know, because you're eating it up, aren't you? Hallelujah. Glory be to God. So they go on. Go on through there. And then Samuel, the Lord told Samuel to go tell Saul to go down and wipe out the Amalekites. Wipe them out. What does wipe out mean? Wipe them out mean? What does it mean? He didn't just say wipe them out. He said, I want you to go down there. Tell Saul to go down there. If God tells you to do something, he'll equip you to do it. I want you to tell Saul to go down there. I want you to tell Saul to kill all the women, all the children, all the men, all the animals, all the donkeys, everything. I want everything killed. And everyone. Don't spare nothing, is what he said. So Saul goes down there and they proceed to do what God called them to do. Except they kept King Agag alive. And they kept all the good part of the animals. the ones that were without spot and blemish, the good ones, and they destroyed everything else. And Samuel comes up, as he's walking up, Saul says, "Samuel, I have obeyed the word of the Lord. I have obeyed the word of the Lord." Obeying the word of the Lord means I have kept the word that God told me to do. I have done what God told me to do. I've done it. I've killed him. I took care of what God wanted me to do. And Samuel said, "Oh, is that so? What is that bleating of the sheep I hear? What is that lowing of the ox that I hear?" And he said, "Oh, the people wanted to keep the best to sacrifice to you, Lord." And then he told him, he said, Saul, you have lied, you have disobeyed the word of the Lord. But no, before that he said, and he told him all this stuff and all that went on, the people wanted to keep a sacrifice. And then he says again, "I have obeyed the word of the Lord." Two times that he told the man of God that he obeyed the word of the Lord. And Samuel said, "The kingdom has been stripped from you, Saul. And God has anointed him another man." Hallelujah. Thank God for King David. God has chosen him another man to be king over Israel. Hallelujah. Now God chose Saul too. But that don't mean just because you're chosen you're going to do what God called you to do. You got a will. Did you know that? God gave you a will. Your own will. He will not violate your will. And he lost the kingdom. Listen to this. The favor of God was removed from King Saul because he disobeyed the word of the Lord. Glory, hallelujah. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
Look at someone and say, "Hey, you better do what the word says. If you want the blessings of God and the favor of God on your life, I want them on mine." Yes, so I'm going to be a doer of the word. And James tells us that anyway, doesn't he? You got to be a doer of the word, not just a hearer only. If you're only a hearer of the word, in other words, what he's saying, if all you come for today is sit there in that pew and go through the church service and not believe nothing and not begin to do what the word says do, all you're doing is fooling yourself. Ooh, hallelujah. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
Look at someone and say, "I'm a doer of the word.
I'm
blessed in all of my deeds. And I have the favor of God on my life." Yes, thank you, Jesus. I'm fixing to shout. I don't know what y'all going to do. Now, I've showed you illustration there what happens when you disobey God. Didn't I? I didn't say that. That's what God's word says. Hallelujah. Can somebody say,
"That's the truth"?
I know the truth.
And the truth
sets me free. Hallelujah. Yes. Glory. Hallelujah. Woo! Praise the name of the Lord. Now listen to this. Saul ignored the instructions from Samuel to kill King Agag and all the Amalekites. Proverbs 14:9 said, "Fools make a mock at sin." Did he say that right? Or did I say that right? Fools make a mock at sin. And that's exactly what happens when people say, "Well, you know, I know this ain't exactly right, but God understands." That's what he said. Fools make a mock at sin. And I'm not standing up here and trying to tell you I'm some big shot, big somebody, because I'm like Paul. I'm the least of God's servants. I made more mistakes than I could care to imagine. But I have a merciful, loving God.
Yes.
And He's faithful. And He loves me.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And He loves you too.
Yes, he
look at someone and say, I am somebody.
I am
loved by the King.
I am
God's best. He don't have to go nowhere looking for His best. Because I am His best. Hallelujah. And He thinks that way about you too. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Fools make a mock at sin, but among righteous there is favor. Hallelujah. What you want? Somebody may a fool being a fool for making mocking at sin, or do you want the righteousness of God on your life as a favor? Hallelujah. Favor stopped. Saul was rejected from being king, and David became king of Israel. Now we got one more illustration, I think. If I get around here and see what I got. Favor stops when the tithe is withheld. Oh Lord. Lord, have mercy. Brother Reed took up the offering this morning. And I said, man, ain't that just like God? I didn't talk to him. He didn't talk to me. I didn't know he was going to be using Malachi, an offering this morning. But listen to what he says. Favor stops when the tithe is withheld from God. A curse comes instead of a blessing. And for years now, listen, you're not looking at the smartest cook in the jar when you look up here and see me. But now if you're looking up here and see the Holy Spirit, and you're looking at the smartest one there ever was. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. When the tithe is withheld from God, a curse comes instead. I went most of my life as a Christian believing and wondering and trying to figure out how in the world could a God that loves me curse me. If I didn't give my tithes, it wasn't that God curses me, it was God, and the devil was messing my mind trying to keep me from grabbing that truth. When the tithe is withheld, the blessing of God that He has on my life is removed and the curse comes in. And then finally I realized, He don't put no curse on me. I set before you life and blessing, death and curses. Now you choose what kind of life you want. When the tithe is withheld, automatically the curse comes. It's there. You are not chosen life and blessing. You have chosen death and curses when we withhold the tithe. And I say, God, You're so good. Because if there's anything going on in your life that is not good, it is not from God. Because He is a good God. And He loves to give good gifts to His children.
Yes, yes.
Look at someone say, I'm a child of God.
I'm a child of God.
And He loves me.
And He loves me.
And He has favor on me. Glory, hallelujah. Malachi 3:8-9 says, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed you? And tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse. He didn't say, I curse you. I'm going to curse you because you didn't put your tithes in this morning. No, He didn't. You can't bless someone and turn around and curse them because the kingdom won't stand. You divided kingdom. It can't stand. Jesus taught us that. Hallelujah. Can somebody say amen? You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation of Israel. And what we're doing when we don't give our tithe, we're robbing God. Not that he wants your money. He don't need your money. Did you know that? If you hadn't figured it out yet, he don't need your money. I heard somebody say he owns the cattle of 1,000 hills, but it don't stop there. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Why does he need your money? All the gold, all the silver, everything in this earth belongs to him, even you. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Favor can make you wealthy. Woo! Hallelujah. And I'm not just talking about money. I'm talking about a wealthy person is someone that's got the blessings of God, living in the blessings of God over in their lives. The world system is one that measures a person by the possessions they have. God don't do that. God don't do that. He looks at the heart of man. And he judges to the heart of the man. Glory, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. The peasant Ruth. How many of them are Ruth and Naomi? Her husband died, her two sons died, and she was left. She had not left Bethlehem, the house of bread, in a famine. Why would you leave the house of bread in a famine? Bethlehem is a house of bread. Why would you leave the house of bread in a famine? But anyway, she left her husband and her two sons. And they got married, the two sons did. The father died, the two sons died. And Naomi said, I'm going to go back to Bethlehem, where I'm from. And one of the girls, they were going to go with her. She told them, no, stay in your own town, home, where you at. Marry again, have sons and daughters and all this stuff and all. But Ruth told Naomi, she said, no, I will not leave you. And she tried to get her to go back to her family, and she would not leave. She said, where you go, I will go. Your God will be my God. I'll live with you and take care of you. And that's what she said. Well, they go back to Bethlehem. And Ruth has to get out and scrape and around the fields and gather up the crumbs. I'm going to say crumbs. But it's the seed that had fallen when harvest was taken. See, back then, there's a law. You couldn't reap the corners of the fields. You had a square field, but you could, and you circled it out. You couldn't reap the corners of it. That had to be left for the poor and the widow. And she is out there going behind the people picking the grain. And she was picking up and gathering the grain and all for her and Naomi to eat. Naomi had rich people. Boaz was one of them. And she come to find out she was gleaning in Boaz's field. And he asked her, who's that woman out there? And they told him, she's taking care of Naomi. He told them, start leaving more grain than you ever have. Every once in a while, just pour out some piles of it for her. In other words, because of her obedience to her mother-in-law, the blessings of God was already coming in her life. And to make a long story short, she ended up marrying Boaz and became a wealthy person. Glory, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. The peasant Ruth became the wife of Boaz. Proverbs 12:2. A good man obtaineth the favor of the Lord, but a man of wicked devices will be condemned. When Jonah cried out on the streets of Nineveh, favor flowed. Listen to this. I'm going to stop right there. I don't want to read the rest of that yet. I want to share this with you. How many of you know the story of Jonah? Jonah was a man of God. And God had called Jonah and told him to go to Nineveh and preach the gospel. This was an ungodly city. This was not no little city. The Bible says it was a 3-day journey just to walk across Nineveh. A 3-day journey to walk across Nineveh. Jonah hated them people. He did not want to go down there. I don't know what that kind of dealings he had with them in the past, but he did. He might have just hated sin. But he would not go down there. So God wouldn't leave him alone, so he run away. He got on a ship. Bless God, I'll show God what I'm going to do. How many of you ever thought like that? God tell us to do something, we do right the opposite. God tell us to give $100 an offering, we give 50. Woo, hallelujah. Don't look at me like that. I've done that before. You probably have too. Hallelujah. You know what it's called? It's called going to school. And the Lord said, you didn't do what I told you to. I said, I gave my tithes this morning. No, you didn't do what I tell you to do. What's the most important? Did you give your tithes down to the penny, or do you obey the voice of the Lord? That's what Samuel told Saul, wasn't it? Sacrifice and burnt offerings ain't nothing compared to you obeying the Lord. That's what he said. Your sacrifices and your offerings don't mean nothing if that ain't what God told you to do. Ooh, getting quiet in this Holy Ghost filled church. Ooh, hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Now, I'm not saying you're not paying your tithes. I'm just delivering what the Lord laid on my heart. Hallelujah. Say, I need it. I'm saying it for myself. I need it. Hallelujah. Yeah, 3 days journey across Nineveh. Jonah goes, he gets on a ship, he's going to head out. The man that walks on water, ship don't bother him no way. Did you know that? He don't need no ship if he wanted to catch Jonah. Hallelujah. So he heads out, and there becomes a big old storm comes up, and it's going to drown them all. And I'm going to make a long story short because I'm getting wound down here. Well, the time's probably getting wound down. But anyway, they said, something wrong here. They started doing all kinds of stuff, praying to their gods and all that. And Jonah was laying down in the bottom of the ship asleep. And they was having a big old tempest, wind, storm, everything taking place. Finally, they go down there and wake him up. You need to get up and be praying your God, man, and all, and help us out of this. Finally, Jonah just told him, he said, that, you know, throw him overboard because he is the cause of the problem. Well, they threw him overboard. So you better be careful. If you're not with people who you're supposed to be with, they might want to throw you overboard. Hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. So they threw him overboard, and a big fish, the Bible said, I think it's in Hebrew somewhere else, says a whale, but it's a big fish, swallowed him up. Jonah began to pray. Well, he was in the belly of the whale. How do you know that? Because he said, weeds are hanging all over me. And all this stuff he describes in the belly of the whale. He called it hail. I bet he thought it was. What would you think if you got thrown down there? Woo, hallelujah. So anyway, the fish threw him up on the sea and all. And he told the Lord, he prayed, and he said he'd go to Nineveh. He's going to Nineveh. He's going to go to Nineveh. Well, he wasn't going because he wanted to go, though. He wasn't going because he wanted to go. But he goes down to Nineveh. And the Bible says he walks a day's journey into Nineveh. And he starts preaching. And those people begin to weep. The king began to tear off his clothes. Sit down in ashes and covered in sackcloth. Called and made everyone in his kingdom, animal and person alike, could not eat or drink anything. They had to get down in sackcloth and ashes and pray for forgiveness. And the favor of God came in, and Nineveh was saved. God, that made Jonah mad. Made him mad. How do you feel when somebody that you don't particularly care for gets born again or God blesses them? Ooh! Search your heart. How do you feel? Because God's looking at your heart anyway. And God was looking at the heart of Jonah. He said, Jonah, what are you so mad about? He said, I told you, I'm paraphrasing. He said, I told you I didn't want to go down to Nineveh and preach to them ungodly people. Because I know you, God. And if they would repent, you would receive them and give them forgiveness. And if Jonah knew God like he should, he would have been as happy as God to get him born again. Or get them repented from all that junk. Now listen what he's saying. When Jonah cried out in the streets of Nineveh, favor flowed. When the king called a fast, the favor of God was birthed. Jonah, because of Jonah being obedient, I didn't say he was willing. Because he was obedient and go preach like he told the Lord he would. Favor of God flowed in Nineveh. Glory, hallelujah. The favor of God, something we can't do without. Hallelujah. Favor can grow. 1 Samuel 12 and 26, and the child Samuel grew on. And was in favor with God, with the Lord, and also with men. That's one of the scriptures I quote all the time. I thank you, Father God. I have favor with you. You give me favor with men. I'm growing in favor with God and men. If you don't ever say I'm growing in favor with God and men, you're going to take you longer to get there with the blessings and the favor of God, like God wants on us. Hallelujah. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Jesus grew in favor with God and men. So he says I can have everything he has. Yeah. So if he grew in favor with God and men, I'm growing in favor with God and men. Yeah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And the last scripture, Luke 2 and 52. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. I hope you got something today. I don't just hope it, I know you did. Because God's word is powerful. It's alive. Hallelujah. I thank you, Lord God, for everyone that's here today. I thank you, Father God, that we receive your word with thanksgiving in our heart and praise on our lips. Your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. Lord, help us to hide your word in our heart that we'll not sin against you. Father, we are what your word says we are. We can do what your word says we can do. And I thank you that your word is working mightily in me, transforming in me into the image of Jesus Christ. And I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Is anybody here needs prayer for anything today? Hallelujah. God is a great God. Jesus is a healing Jesus. Hallelujah. Yes, what you want, dearest?
I'd like to say that all next week, next Tuesday, former traveling evangelist Billy Graham will be celebrating 99 years of life on this planet.
Mm-hmm.
Wanted to lift him up in prayer as he sees another life and while he's still in this planet.
Well, let's just pray and bless him. Pray the blessings of God over him. Father, we lift up Billy Graham to you. Lord, who am I to pray for such an ambassador for you? We lift him up to you, Lord. He's fixing to turn his 99 years. And most of his life he spent working and doing what you have called him to do. Winning souls into the kingdom. Father, you tell us in Proverbs that he that win the souls is wise. He's truly a wise man, Lord. And we pray your blessings upon him. You have blessed him with a long, fulfilled life. And we know it's not over yet. And I pray, Lord, you bless him spiritually, physically, mentally, financially, in every area of his life, that you meet every need he desires. And Father, we thank you for health in his body, soundness of mind, and Lord, that he will fully accomplish everything.